Blog Talk Radio.
Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Records. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw, give me two shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Yeah, 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 he's an outlaw. We're back again for another Tuesday night of Deaf Conversations with John Dilley. This is Gray and Ideas on the Gray and Ideas Radio Network. Good evening, Mr. Dilley. How are you?
Good afternoon, darling.
Oh, geez, we're starting it off just right.
Yeah. It's been one of those days, man, I'll tell you what. Oh.
Well, you've got yourself a good guest today, and if you need me, you know I'm hiding out in the dungeon, so it's all yours, buddy. Knock them out and have a good hot sauce show.
Absolutely. Ever put you back up in the chains. You look better that way. Have a good one, man. Anyway, all right. It's been one of those days, folks. Oh, my God. But anyway, we'll start off our weekly shout-out to the band that makes our intro music possible, the Moonshine Bandits. I love you guys. Check them out on iTunes. It's some really funny music. But anyway, greetings, everyone, from the DEF CON Sources compound located deep under a Superfund site here in New Jersey. Well, happy August. This summer's flying by. We have yet another great show on deck for tonight with another enigmatic guest from the awesome world of Fiery Foods. The guest will also be the second guest that we've had that will be representing the West Coast, this time from the state of Washington. But just a quick weekly recap. I do have to apologize to anyone that expected to see us at the Allendale, New Jersey market on Saturday. Now, I got a couple of emails. I apologize. I wasn't there. I bowed out because of the weather. I woke up. It was pouring rain. I figured the day was totally shot. Well, as usual, I was wrong. I hate missing markets, and I've built up a pretty good solid return customer base. But, hey, stuff happens. I do apologize. But we'll be there. No, we'll be there this Saturday. Sunday pretty much made up for the Chester. The Chester, New Jersey market. It was cloudy, but the wave assault of customers did not care. It was probably one of the best days we've had there to date. Having missed the Chester market last week due to bad weather, a number of customers were delighted when they saw the DEF content and quickly got their goods from us. It was a good afternoon. Anyway, once again, we'll be at the Metuchen market this Saturday, Allendale next on August 9th from 9 a.m. to 2:30, and the Chester market on Sunday from 10 to 3. Stop on by and say hi. Now, I briefly brought up the 8th annual Duff's Brooklyn Thrash Bar Wing Fest in the last couple of weeks. Well, it's now less than 2 weeks away. Now, this event is insane. It's a good, twisted insane. Duff's Brooklyn is a very well-known heavy metal bar about two blocks from Williamsburg Bridge in Brooklyn, New York. It's been voted one of the top 100 dive bars in the U.S. on barfinder.com. This place is a true New York original. The owner, Jimmy Duff, is a personal friend of mine from high school, which makes the event a pleasure to do. Jimmy is an icon in the heavy metal industry and even appeared in a friggin' Spider-Man comic a couple of years ago. Talking about being immortalized. I mean, that's just friggin' awesome. Anyway, as we do every year, we'll be serving up 200 pounds of DEF CON wings for free. Yes, free. The gig runs from about 9 p.m. until the wings are gone, usually about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. If you want a good dose of dark, twisted fun, come join the DEF CON crew and the eclectic band of night creatures as they consume massive quantities of avian appendages coated with various DEF CON sauces products. The date of this mayhem is Saturday, August 16th. As I said, it goes from about 9 p.m. till about 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning. Duff's is located at 163 Marcy Ave in the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn. In the meantime, go check out Duff's at duffsbrooklyn.com. Okay, quick lead-in topic for tonight. One of the things that makes the hot and spicy industry really fun is opening up people's eyes to how many different types of hot sauces really exist. The non-chili head group Mindthink, until recently, was either Tabasco or Frank's Red Hot or one of those type of things. There's still a ton of people that still think that, which is kind of sad. But it's our job, the hot sauce manufacturers, to make the number of these people decrease by attrition if necessary. It is our job, the hot sauce manufacturer, to create hot and spicy products like no other that currently exist. We are the Epicurean spelunkers, per se, plunging the depths of creativity in a never-ending quest in search of new and yet undiscovered flavor blends. This gastronomical odyssey has opened the eyes of thousands in reaching their taste buds with the taste of a manufacturer's entrepreneurial talent. Once an individual is re-educated in the proper ways of hot and spicy, they will become part of a greater good, and they will start their individual quest to seek out the vast array of of awesome, hot and spicy products out there, thus enhancing the industry as a whole. One thing in particular I've noticed over the past couple of years doing this stuff is the fact that most people don't really realize the subtle diversity of flavors when it comes to hot peppers. I mean, you look at, you know, most people that come up to the markets and stuff. I mean, even big shows, most rank peppers in about four specific groups. The first group being the regular non-hot peppers like bell peppers or frying peppers. And then for some reason, jalapenos seem to have their own category to itself. I don't quite understand it. And then the hot ones, which for the most part contains habaneros and, everybody else says, ones like it. And then pretty much the only super hot they've ever heard of is the ghost pepper. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of sad, but yeah, they're learning. They're learning. An amazing amount of people are not familiar with at all with the actual flavor of hot peppers and only know the adverse effects of the heat. The orange habanero, for instance, actually a very sweet pepper. We have a product, the Hobby Pony, our mild habanero horseradish, where we were able to get that sweetness of the habanero to come forward only with a little bit of heat. When people see the label that has mild and habanero in the same sentence, they're often confused, but after tasting it, they're amazed that the label is not misleading at all. It's fun to explain the different kinds of peppers to people, as it seems to open up a curiosity to them that they want to pursue. This is a good thing for the industry as a whole. Many people also think that most of the heat in the pepper is in the seeds. Wrong answer. Most of the heat is contained in the placenta on the inside. The placenta is that white styrofoam spongy stuff on the inside of the wall of the pepper. If you carve that stuff out, you will drastically lower the heat of the pepper, thus allowing the actual taste of the pepper to come through. Just a little helpful tip for your friends here at DEF CON Sauces. But anyway, I think it's time to bring on our guest. Her name is Ann Simmons. I had met this woman a few years back when she made her first appearance at Zest Fest, showing in Las Colinas, Texas. She definitely has the mindset for this industry, having a great sense of humor and at the same time being a little twisted. It's a mental mix that makes for a very good manufacturer. She has a bunch of different products, and we'll talk about all of them and learn a little bit about her company, Texas Creek Products. Welcome to DEF Conversations, Ann. Glad to have you aboard.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for the invite.
Not a problem at all. Oh, I'm glad you are. And you had a second guest on the show representing the West Coast, like I said, and this time from the awesome state of Washington. Now, we had spoken briefly on the phone. You had stated that you survived the recent wildfires. I'm very glad to hear that.
Yes, we are.
But, how close were the fires to you guys?
For our house, it was less than a quarter mile away.
We've had
four different light offs, you know, lightning strikes happening at four different times. Well, the first one like 2.5, almost 3 weeks ago, and the last one just like 3 days ago. And so it's been like 300 homes that have been lost, but no loss of life. So we're all still here, and we're just plugging away and happy to
God
get back
bless
to
you.
Normal.
I mean, I've never witnessed a fire of that kind of intensity, but it must be scary as hell. I mean, so you see the thing, and you look back, and there's your house, and here it comes towards it. It must be terrifying.
It is. It's very terrifying, and not knowing if it's going to jump the fire lines again, as it did,
right.
And then, you know. Well,
I'll tell you what. Let's jump in. Let's jump into the Texas Creek Products whole line. That's kind of we're here to promote you guys. And I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a few questions. And these are very simple. These are very, very simple. And as I do it, everybody, I got my little 20 questions lined up here. And my first question to every single guest since the inception of the show is, what got you in to this kind of unique industry, the whole hot sauce thing? What kind of fired put the fire under your butt for this thing?
Well, that started back in about 1994.
Okay.
A friend of mine that I worked with, a girlfriend, we were working in the restaurant industry, and she had a recipe that would make canned hot sauce or canned salsa.
Okay.
So how it kind of all started was her and I would go to Eastern Washington on Labor Day weekend under the premise that we were going to buy produce and make hot sauce and salsa for our families. And it was actually just an excuse for her and I to come to Eastern Washington and party for 3 days.
There you go. I like that.
We'd have a produce stand on the way home and go home and make hot sauces. And my husband would take it to work, and the guys started stealing the jars out of his lunchbox.
Right.
So he said, well, fine, if you're going to steal them, you might as well buy them. So he started selling it.
Oh, my God, it's funny.
Kind of, started.
But I mean, you know, but you, I mean, but how long after that did Texas Creek, did you actually think, wait, I can start my own company on this? I mean, was it a couple of years after that, or when did everything kind of come to, like, I'm doing this, one of those moments, like a eureka moment?
Yeah, that was actually, it was about 1995.
Nice.
And the second winter that he was working at a job site and he was selling the hot sauce, I ran out of, you know, canned hot sauce in like January. I'm like, what the heck? And so I made another batch, and then I figured that, you know what, this is too much work. But being in the restaurant industry and stuff, I kind of had a entrepreneurial spirit already going, and I
there you go.
Figured, hey, you know, I can do this fresh, and I can do it, you know, straight. And so the first product is that I still make is a refrigerated salsa. It's a
okay.
fresh, you know, 16-ounce tubs. It's only sold locally because it's, you know, fresh on the shelf and 30-day
sure.
shelf life. And so, yeah, we've been doing
that
since 1995.
I take you do well with that because it's been around for a while.
It is. Yeah, it's very consistent. It has an awesome customer base, like I said, but it's only local because I can't keep up with trying to distribute regionally. And, you know, I make it myself, and so it's as much as I can do.
Yeah, hey, you can't ask any more than that. But now you said you're based out of Washington State. You started around 1995. Now, I mean, is there in Washington? I take it, is there like a different mindset when it comes to the specific types of hot sauces that people like in Washington? Is there like a, you know, like you've been all over the place, doing all different shows? Do you find that like Washington State has a specific type of product that they like in that area?
Mild.
Mild. That's funny. Okay. Okay.
They do.
In a word.
75% of what I sell is medium and mild, and that my medium is like, you know, like a 3 on the 1 to 10 scale.
Gotcha.
And,
okay. Wait. No. Okay. Everyone's different. I mean, have you noticed a trend to go a little bit hotter in your area? Maybe like a slowly but surely, kind of like the hot grind, kind of just going on.
There is definitely over the course of time. You know, when I make a batch, I always have just like. I used to have like 2 or 3 scorchers that I would just, you know, load up with habaneros or something, and
right.
Now I'm up to like 5 or 6 scorchers per batch. So,
oh, this is good. This is good.
Yeah, and since we've gotten the bottled products, the shelf-stable products going, the Ghost Fire, which is about a 6 to 7 on the heat scale, is our most popular one.
Okay. Oh, very good. I mean, the ghost seems to be like I mentioned earlier on. The ghost is everybody knows about the ghost. It's kind of funny how that one kind of weaseled its way into the group think of everybody. Everybody knows about the ghost, but they don't know about the mm-hmm. 7 pots and the fatalities. They know, but everybody knows about the ghost. It's kind of bizarre. I find it bizarre. Now I do have a question I ask every single person that comes on here. You got to be honest. Who runs the company,
okay.
you or your husband?
Me, 100%.
Me? All right. A firm answer.
I agree.
Usually...
it's me all the way.
Because I can't say that because now you kick
marketing.
My ass. Oh, that's funny. Okay, now, we had talked for a short time a few days ago, and your company, we had kind of mentioned this in passing. I thought it was a great question. Your company's name is Texas Creek Products, but you're based out of Washington. There has to be a story behind this.
There is.
Okay, good.
when we started, I lived on the west in western Washington, and our original salsa business name was Cascade Salsa. So when
okay.
we moved to Eastern Washington, I actually sold that business to somebody that kept the rights to do it over here, where just regionally.
Right.
So we come over here to the Mehow Valley, and it's very non-hot, non-chili head, non-spicy.
Okay.
And could not come up with a good name, but where we live is Texas Creek Road, and there is a Texas Creek right outside my front door, right across the
road.
Oh,
that's awesome.
So we thought, well, you know, we're only doing salsa. I'm never going to do anything other than salsa. I'm never going to be out of the Mehow Valley, so let's call it Texas Creek because everybody knows Texas Creek, and it kind of has a Texas, you know, the hot thing going on for it. So that's why we named it that. And then we went, you know, big, and now we're, you know, selling international, and everybody says, but you're in Washington State.
Exactly. No, I was hoping there was a story behind it because it just there had to be. That's just pretty funny though. You learn though. That's I like it. I do like it.
Sure.
Now moving right along here because we got a lot to talk about here. What was your first product that came out? Was that you said that was the Ghost Fire? Was that the first one that came out? Or no? You besides the salsas, like the hot sauce end of it.
Besides the fresh refrigerated salsa, the first bottled product I did was kind of two of them at the same time, which was about 2001. It was an apple cider vinegar and chipotle, just really simple chipotle hot sauce.
Okay.
And on our website, it's one with a little green label, chipotle hot sauce. And then at the same time, said about 2000, 2001, at that time, I think Red Savinas were the hottest chili in the world, and somehow
I remember that era, yeah. I remember that time.
Yeah.
Way back in the annals of history.
Yeah, that's really dating it. I found Tim Campbell's Mild to Wild, and so I was buying Red Savinas from him, and the only other thing to jack up the heat at that time was extract. So I got some, you know, like 1 million extract and put that, basically some Red Savinas and some extract in the regular chipotle hot sauce, and that was the Wildfire hot sauce. So those were the two that came out about the same time, about 2001, and
That's cool. And now, you started the salsa thing, and then all of a sudden you kind of veered right, you know, into the whole hot sauce thing. I mean, what made you choose to take on all these different, like, culinary directions, if you will, just to kind of, okay, we're doing salsa, salsa's doing great. I'm going to try hot sauce. Let me see what that does.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a major decision for a company. You're going to change your entire product, not change it, but add an entire product line. It's a big decision when it comes to a company.
It is, and it's a whole different type of processing and all that. And at the time, I was using a shared use community kitchen that had been put in specifically for processors, like different small. We had a cake baker and a lady that made tamales and all that stuff. So that was up in Twisp.
Okay.
And after about 2 years, the structure of that changed, and we put in a little gift shop out front. So that was kind of the idea of, okay, I need to have something on the shelf out here, the shelf-stable product that people can take and go. So that was kind of the impetus behind getting some shelf-stable products. And then when I realized, wow, this is really cool. It can last more than 30 days. Because the salsa has a 30-day shelf life. So I was like, wow, I can make it, you know, I can make more and it lasts longer. So.
Right. And I can ship it.
Yeah. I can go out of area. What a concept.
But it was just kind of like, yeah, I'm going to try this. But then you realize, like you said, I mean, the bottled products do last a lot longer than the fresh salsas, of course. I mean, that's just common sense with the pH levels and all that kind of stuff you have to deal with. But, I mean, what gives you – is anything – because you got a number of products. We're going to be going over each one of them. But, I mean, what gives you an inspiration for a new product? Just somebody says, like, hey, you know, you might want to try this with a little bit of that. I get that a lot. But, I mean, is that kind of what does it? Or is it just like you sit down one night and have an epiphany where, like, boom, little light goes off in your head?
Well, kind of a little bold. Actually, each product is kind of inspired differently. We had the two bottle, you know, the vinegar-based chipotle hot sauce and the Wildfire hot sauce, and a couple of years later, the Ghost Fire was coming out, or the Ghost Chilies were becoming known, and that was about 2005 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, hey, I should do something with the Ghost Chilies because now they're the hottest ones in the world. So I kind of tweaked that, and then, you know, I bought a bottle of, like, some kind of fruit-based glaze at the store for chicken, and I can't,
and it needed
this is
a little
okay,
something.
But I can do it better. You know, I can do
it
better. So that's when I started playing around with the tropical. So that's kind of a really mild to medium heat, but it's ginger and pineapple and mandarin oranges, and so it's a cooking glaze. So that's where that one came from. Then there's another one. A couple years ago, my husband John was working on a job site. He's a union electrician, so he's on a lot of commercial job sites. And there's some pretty crazy people there. But a couple of the guys he worked with, they were like, oh, we love your sauces. Can you make us one just for us? Well, I'm thinking, okay. And this one person, he lives in Inchilim, Washington. And Inchilim is world famous for Inchilim garlic.
Got it. Oh, okay.
Okay. Garlic. I got to do something with garlic, and garlic is white, and pears happen to be in season. So play it all around, and that's our habanero pear garlic, the white one. On our website, it's the white hot sauce.
Okay.
And so that's kind of where that one came from.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Yeah. Well,
I don't remember where the Worcestershire came from, but go ahead.
Well, no, let's save that one for last, because that's the one I'm really intrigued about. But okay, now we're let's jump in here. Let's get down to the gritty. We discussed the chipotle hot sauce, but then you kind of shifted gears a little bit and came out with a chipotle barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, there again is, it's like, you know, I can't remember if I made it for our own, like for a little family and friends barbecue or something.
Right.
I don't know. It's like, you got to do a barbecue sauce. And so I did up this recipe, and then everybody was like, oh, this is so good. Like, okay, well, I'm already in production. I've got my kitchen set up. All right, let's throw it out there. And so I threw it out to a couple of competitions, and it won first place SCOVY and first place at Zest Fest. And I'm like, oh,
I don't see a problem here.
Okay. I think they like it.
Well put. Well, that's awesome. Now I think that's one of the better sellers for it. Because, I mean, breaking into the barbecue sauce, we've never done it. I mean, I've thought about it for years, but there's so many barbecue sauces out there. I find myself kind of holding back on that because there's so many of them out there. I don't even know if I'd have a shot at even breaking into the ranks of that. But, I mean, to go in there with a new barbecue product, going against a bunch of the guys that have been around for years and winning a first place SCOVY in a Golden Chili, there's something to be said for that. That's really good.
Yeah, well, and it's a total surprise for me because I'm not a grill master or anything like at all. It just came up with this recipe and tweaked it a little bit, and everybody liked it. I put it in one national barbecue sauce competition, and I think it was top 10 somewhere in there. It got like 9th or 10th. So I thought that was pretty dang on good.
That's really good. Don't short sell yourself. Stop it. Oh my God, that's awesome. Yeah, because I mean, we like I said, we thought about doing a barbecue sauce for a while. We've just really kind of held back on that one. We've got a couple other things on the fire we're working on. But barbecue sauce, I'm like gun shy about it. There's so many of them out there. I just don't want to. Oh God, it's whatever. But anyway, now that we got the chipotle barbecue sauce, the chipotle hot sauce, the ghost fire hot sauce we discussed, the wildfire. Now the wildfire was the one with the extract and the red Savina. Mm-hmm. Okay,
yes.
And the Tropical Ghost. Now, the Tropical Ghost hot sauce. Now, my wife does not do hot at all. Would she be able to handle that? You think?
I think so because it's even though it has ghost peppers and red Savinas and some Korean red peppers, it's really not hot. It's like a 3 to 4 heat.
Okay, it's got a lot of sweet going on. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it is. It's a sweet cooking glaze.
Would it be more of like a finishing glaze kind of thing, or do you actually like if you're gonna let's say bake a ham? Would you put it on at the end? Or would you actually bake the ham with that stuff on it?
Oh, well, you can totally bake it on there. I don't know if I'd use it on ham. I suppose it would be okay, but it's more of a chicken, pork, stir fries, a little bit Asian, but still sweet.
Sure.
Sauteed vegetables, rice. Seafood.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I think
seafood.
Well, you told me some of the ingredients. I think Maggie would be intrigued by that. So yeah, you might just be getting an order because I just thought we've been looking for a good glaze. I'm being honest with you. Yeah, you'd probably be getting an order tonight. Now I did like the garlic and smoked habanero hot sauce. Putting the garlic in there. Now you said that was fresh garlic going in. Not like a dried garlic or anything like that. It's fresh garlic in there.
It's. What do I have in that one?
I love it. I forget mine, too.
It is fresh garlic, yeah. No, it's not powder. It's a fresh garlic. And the smoked habaneros.
Right.
Which give it just a tiny, tiny little bit of smoke, but just a little bit of heat. And then that one is with the pears, so it's a white sauce.
Right.
And I
like onions, the idea of the pear. The pear's got it's a very mild, subtle taste, but a pear definitely has its own little taste. And there's a couple of, I think Johnny McLaughlin, Heartbreak and Dawn's guy, I think he has somebody who does a pears as well that's very good. But pears is one you don't see very often in hot sauces, but it has a very nice, subtle, very mellow flavor in the pear. And it really matches well with a lot of things if you do it right. I noticed also you have an organic Southwest spice mix. Well, what's that all about?
Yeah, it's just a spice mix with no salt in it.
Okay.
And it's made with organic spices, just kind of Southwest flavors, some chipotle in there. It's a little bit of medium heat on that one.
Okay.
But it's something like you just put it in your ground beef or whatever, and especially for people who need to watch their salt intake, all those packaged taco mixes are just so loaded with the sodium and stuff. So.
Also, it's like the ramen noodle thing, that little packet, and there's like a salt lick. Uh-huh. Look, I'm not a deer dude. Yes.
Man.
But I'm saving the pièce de résistance for the end. But the next one up is, this is the one that had me highly intrigued. I didn't even know you had it, was the spicy Worcestershire sauce. I am thoroughly intrigued by this, and I will be ordering that. I will be, because I use Worcestershire on everything. I use it on everything.
Uh-huh.
And what did you put in there to make it better?
Well, it's what I didn't put in there, actually, that kind of gives it a little bit of alternative. There's no fish,
no anchovies. Okay.
No anchovies. That's not a really huge thing for people, but it is something.
I love anchovies.
And
I'm weird.
And then no, well, wheat, because I use wheat-free tamari.
Okay.
Like
interesting.
Okay. Soy sauce in there,
sure.
And it just. I don't know. That was a real challenge for me to kind of work that. And it's a process. It's like a 5-day process of how it's made and all the spices.
I can believe it, because, I mean, Worcestershire sauce. Well, Worcestershire sauce is almost like a liquid chutney. I mean, there's so much stuff in it. I mean, it's a crazy mix of stuff that's liquefied. I mean, whoever came up with this first is just, he was a genius. But I mean, but what peppers are in the Worcestershire sauce?
Just habanero.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now you use that like you would like a normal Worcestershire sauce. I mean, it just sounds so good. I'm very intrigued.
Yeah. Yeah, it's liquid. It's the only sauce I make that actually has the orifice reducer on it, has the dropper top on it, and it's liquid, and you know, the little watery consistency. But that's
why it should be. Yeah.
I did enter it into one competition and it did not do well at all because. You know,
well, you know, it's kind of like,
they taste this and go, what the hell is this? It's not a hot.
Well,
sauce.
You know, there are a lot of people out there that do like Worcestershire sauce, but it is something completely different. I put it up there with horseradish. Either you love it or you hate it. I mean, there's no middle ground on horseradish. Same thing goes with, I think, Worcestershire sauce. It's an acquired taste. But if you like it, you love it. If you don't like it, you hate it. I mean, there's no, like, I kind of like Worcestershire. No, you either love it or hate it. That's what I found. But now we're going to save the best for last here, which is your, I think it might be one of your newest products, the Evil One. And you actually have two versions of this. Oh, we got to get to this little boy. I've had personal experience with this. But the pure evil. Now explain to people what this little hellish concoction is.
It's just pure heat. That's all it
is.
After working with the extract and knowing that it tastes like shit.
Dung.
Crap.
Yes.
I don't know if we can say that. Are you going to beep that out?
don't worry about Frank. He's on his own little plane right now. Don't worry about him.
Okay.
I'm waiting for a rim shot. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know I should have brought my corrector since, you know, he's hanging out in the dungeon. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, but he's always watching. He's a scary dude.
Anyway, back to pure evil.
There you go. There's the rim shot. All right. Thank you, Frank. Anyway, it's a pure evil thing. You have to talk about that. What's that all about?
Well, that came about. I had been contacted by a lady from Australia move Copac her sauce for her because she could no longer import the capsaicin to Australia. But we
you have to qualify that. The pure capsaicin, which shouldn't be legal. I mean, that stuff can really hurt you.
it really can. Crystalline capsaicin is crystalline capsaicin powder. That's what I call it.
Right.
It seems
it's evil.
I don't know if it's technically right, but that's what we started with. And then in working with that, I just got this inspiration that, you know what, I can make something that has no flavor at all.
Right.
No smell. It doesn't tweak the flavor of whatever you put it in.
Right.
It just adds heat. That's all it is.
Right.
It's just pure capsaicin heat. And
yep.
You can put it into anything. I mean, people tell me what they put this stuff in, and I'm like, are you nuts? You know, one guy puts it in his milk, rum and Coke, drinks, of course, you know, all kinds of chilies and soups and things like that. And
yep.
What's really been cool is last year I've been contacted by some other food processors who want something spicy. They can control it. They can dose it. And it won't change their products. So now it's being, it was used by Madison Chocolatiers West, and they're out there in New Jersey, I think.
And they are awesome. I know them. They are awesome. They will be on the show one of these days.
So they've used it in some chocolates, and I've also had a small batch soda company is using it.
A soda? Really? A soda company? Oh, that's so cool.
A soda company. Yeah, they had a strawberry jalapeno soda, and they couldn't, obviously jalapenos, they vary from batch to batch.
Yes,
so
widely, yeah.
Now they're able to just use a little bit of jalapeno for the flavor and then dose the heat with the Pure Evil capsaicin.
That is so
capsaicin
cool.
Capsaicin drops. And some
now, have you tried the soda? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Oh, Ann. Oh, all right. I see. Yeah. Damn it. All right. Oh. You know what? You were doing a part two, darling. How about that?
Yeah, okay.
Because we can do a half an hour just about the Pure Evil stuff, and I guarantee you we will. I apologize, darling. These half hours fly right by. I apologize. Oh, man. Anyway, folks, there it is. There's the music. Got to wrap it up. I'd like to thank Ann Simmons from Texas Creek Products for joining us this evening. You got to check out the line of products and the Pure Evil. You got to try it. They're really something for everybody. Go to the website, texascreekproducts.com, and order up. You'll be glad you did. And do you dare try the Pure Evil? Man up. Do it. You got to try it. This stuff is incredibly hot, and it has no taste. What she's absolutely correct. You got to. We'll get her back here to talk about this. Anyway, this is John Billy, president of DEFCON Sauces, purveyors of the finest wing sauces, habanero, horseradishes, and dry rubs, bidding everyone a good night. Check out our stuff at DEFCONSauces.com. So until next week, when we bring forward yet another twisted and slightly unstable celebrity from the worlds of hot sauce, barbecue, and chili, same bat time, same bat channel. Have a good night, everybody. See you next week.
My outlaw, bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. For my outlaw, give me two shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaw, bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm on the 1% patches on the leather vest. And every outlaw biker that I met on the west. I'll probably never see the Opry, if I did I'd laugh. I'd probably break some long necks then go out like cash. They bump me in the prison, Tracy and San Quentin. You can blame the fast living or the whiskey and women. Radio don't need to love me, but they need to respect it. I'm here to pick the pieces up where Bob Rock left it. I've done a few shows where the sheriff won't go. And some of those shows were with David Allen Coe. I'm at the motel sleeping, the truck stop eating. A different dive bar drinking every other weekend. Like a trucker driving 18, I only slept two. My neck stays red and my collar stays blue. Hate three knows me, and shooter does too. If you don't like them, then I don't like you. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB, if you don't like that.
Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.